The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm always happy to have Drew McKissick. He's the South Carolina Republican Party chairman, and he joins us every week at this time. Good morning, Drew. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. So, Drew, I just did an article from Town Hall by a guy named Wayne Allen Root, and he basically just kind of hammered home that he's worried that the GOP leadership in Washington and the RNC have no clue what the most passionate, loyal Republicans believe in. And I'd be curious what your take on that is. I know you and I have had disagreements before. Yep. We're still friends, and it's okay. Sure, but the reality is, I just think sometimes that what happens in Washington doesn't trickle down to the state level where they realize we're not just going to take it. And it appears
you're right.
We keep taking it on the chin.
You're right. I mean, you've got, if you back up, say, 5 years. Go back to 2015 and when Donald Trump first announced that he was running for president. And then, you know, the ensuing campaign, 17 candidates running, Donald Trump runs circles around all of the other, you know, and I think it would be fair to say, you know, half of which would be sort of, you know, A-list candidates. And, you know, as you would think of as normal, you know, Republican candidates that would do very well, governors and senators and so forth. Had great fundraising and this kind of thing. But what happened was they were not connecting when it came to message. And I think what you had seen up until that point was a good number of the folks in sort of the beltway, you know, version of the Republican Party, if you will, in D.C., elected officials and so forth, had just gradually over the course of about 20 years become unconnected from where grassroots Republicans were around the country, particularly on issues like trade, immigration, you know, cultural and social conservative issues in some cases. And it was sort of like the rubber band snapping back. And I think that's what we've seen over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, to a degree, you know, then that begins to affect state politics and so forth. And I think that's a healthy process.
You know, I agree with you on that. I think the one thing this article talks about is that I think a lot of folks are worried about another terrorist attack coming through that open border. We know that the economy is starting to teeter. We're seeing inflation about to come and blow everything out. You know, you get our economy out of whack again, I think you're going to have people wondering what has happened. Yep. The Democratic Party cannot prop themselves up this much.
No, and, you know, we're heading up to a midterm election in 22, as you know, and historically, I want to say there's only been two midterm elections, maybe in the last 100 years, where the party that was in the White House did not lose seats in the House of Representatives. I think the Democrats have a 4-seat majority, if I'm not mistaken, now in the House. So it's pretty well almost a guarantee that Republicans are going to take control of the House of Representatives in the midterm election. That's why you see Biden and the Democrats trying to move so far so fast, you know, in this first 100 days, you know, everything from essentially the war on American energy independence, to an infrastructure bill, which I think only has 7% of it actually pertains to infrastructure. So maybe we should call it the not infrastructure bill. Maybe that would be more descriptive.
Yeah, I think so.
The
border
crisis, you know, the border crisis is just bubbling incredibly. And amazingly, there was an article 2 days ago, Kamala Harris just got put in charge of, you know, the Biden administration's space program policy.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but a month ago, wasn't she put in charge of the border?
Yeah.
So has she fixed all that now, or are we done with that and moving on?
You know, let me stop you. I did not even talk about her in the space thing because I think it's so ridiculous. I have somebody who can't figure out what her current job is. They can put her on any committee they want, but this woman needs to go to work, or maybe not. Maybe we're safer that she stays home and rearranges her kitchen again. And that's not being sexist. She spent a boatload of money fixing up her kitchen. Maybe she should stay home because actually she worries me more than Biden.
Well, I mean, because Biden is sort of a warm, fuzzy face that they try to put on their agenda. You know, that was their sales pitch in the last election. This is, you know, Mr., you know, old doddering Uncle Joe, non-threatening yeah. Uncle Joe. And in the background, you know, we know who's actually pulling the strings and running things, you know, yeah. Pelosi, Schumer, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we know where this goes. But again, that's why they're moving so far so fast, because they know they've got a midterm coming up and they know what's probably going to happen.
So, Drew, my worry is, so Republicans take the House back. We're still so scattered. I don't know why we cannot be whipped into line to push legislation. Look at the South Carolina State House. We own the House, the Senate, and the governor. And we're still not passing honest legislation that would help South Carolinians. So my question to my listeners today was, do we meet in the middle? And they're all basically saying, good luck on that, Deb.
Well, you know, you've got one thing that you can say that would be admirable about Democrats. We're looking for admirable things about Democrats, particularly elected officials who are in power, is when they have power, they use power to advance their agenda. They're not ashamed of it. They're not shy about it. Republicans, on the other hand, particularly, are just a good bit more shy about it, because as soon as they get smashed in the mouth by folks in the press about, well, this is radical, well, how dare you do this, et cetera, they climb under the desk and start hiding because people are calling them names, you know, racist, bigot, sexist, homophobic, whatever it might be. And, you know, in the meantime, you know, you're wasting time on the clock, if you will. Now, we have got some good things moving through the legislature. We did get the heartbeat bill passed in record time. We've got an important piece of election reform legislation through the House, actually sitting in the Senate right now, which will require all county election commissions around the state to enforce election law the same in every county around the state. I know that's a novel idea. You know, contact your senator, ask them to support that bill. Love to get that passed. It would help us out very, very much around the state. And Second Amendment legislation the Senate's taken up and the House has passed and so forth. There's so much more that we can do. And again, that comes from not being scared to use political power when you have political power to advance your agenda. That's what we have elections for.
Yeah. You know, I've got another article. Caitlyn Jenner, of all the people in the world, Caitlyn Jenner says, no. She opposes trans girls competing in women's sports in schools. And yet I have a South Carolina legislature. They can't see their forest through the trees on this one.
Yep.
And it failed again. I'm done with that. Legislators. I am done. Stop it. If you have a daughter, you would understand. We worked hard to get Title IX. We worked hard to play sports so we could get scholarships for college. This is insanity.
Yep. And now they have to compete with boys for those scholarships. Let's put it this way. I think what needs to happen now is the state Senate needs to take up that bill and pass it and shame the House of Representatives into moving it forward. That, quite frankly, that's probably what's going to have to happen.
Good. Is there anybody there who will do it?
Yes, I've heard of two or three senators who are looking to take up that very strategy, potentially this week or next week.
All right. So I heard you had a raucous meeting down in Lexington, Richland.
Well, Richland. We had a Richland County Convention on Friday night. And we had a great night. You know, the opposition didn't have such a great night. But by all accounts, based on the delegates who were elected, I think we probably picked up 67 out of 67 delegates. We're looking forward to state convention on May 15th. And we'll get that out of the way and then start focusing on 2022 and putting our campaign structure together.
Very good. You know, I can't tell you how brokenhearted I am for our good Senator Tim Scott and the abuse he's had to take. Any good comment there for our favorite guy?
Yeah, I mean, look, Tim Scott is one of the best communicators of conservative values in a way that is understood by people to be relevant to their daily lives. And that's the secret to political communication. How can you take your agenda and demonstrate to someone how it's relevant to their daily lives? He does a fantastic job of that. He did a great job with the response to Joe Biden's speech. And it was just another example of, you know, why he's such a, you know, bright, shining light when it comes to the conservative firmament around the country.
Very good. Always glad to have you on, Drew. As much as it pains me to say this, I don't think I'm speaking to you next week. But if I do, happy to have you back. Take care, my friend.
Yes, ma'am.